tell me about this new venture in your life. You're taking a step in a new direction. How does that feel with this new album?
Well, it just feels nice to be easier to find with Ellis Delaney. And the record itself, you know, every record I make, I want it to be honoring the songs that are on the record and to feel like it lifts the emotional quality of the music. And also then as a musician, I get to expand a little bit, you know, and play around in the studio a little bit, you know what I mean? And so like all those things need to be met. And with this record, I was able to expand a little bit into, you know, a little bit more poppy at times, a little bit more, you know, I don't even know, maybe, you know, having a couple of things that are more controversial issues, you know, talking about those in the album. But in general, you know, this record just feels really good for this time. And I'm excited by the idea of ordinary love and how we can touch base with ordinary love to feel our own resilience in the face of all that's going on.
So one of the things I notice in this new album that you haven't changed is that you have a positive outlook on life. Where does that come from for you?
Oh, gosh. You know, I think it's from my Dharma practice, just being really in touch with this deep desire that I have to be more in tune with my life in a way that, you know, helps me appreciate it, you know, helps me really be free from all the extra, you know, stuff that is a part of our human life. But I think we can make our lives harder just because of the way we interpret what's going on. And I think, you know, from my mind anyway, I need a lot of help. I need a lot of assistance. And so I've had a lot of practice really, you know, learning to see joy as a real friend.
So in a day like yesterday, the day after there was a major protest in your own neighborhood, what's the role of that hopeful attitude and that practice in your life? How do you come to terms with that when it's right there in your neighborhood?
Well, for me, you know, this record is called Ordinary Love, and I call it that because of this idea of an expansive idea of love, that it's ordinary because it is easy to generate. And I think all we have to do is remember, you know, the humanity of other people. And I think right now we are protesting what has happened here in Minneapolis because of the someone's humanity wasn't seen in a moment where there was power over that person and someone lost his life. A dad lost his life and a police officer overreached, you know, out of not seeing this guy's humanity, you know? And so it's just how I think ordinary love is also stepping up and saying, oh my gosh, you know, call to community, saying we need to work together to help this not continue to happen again and again and again. And it does feel tense. And I'm not sure the tension isn't a part of loving, you know, because when we love, it's so much more than the romantic kind of love or the, you know, it's about really seeing what's really here and valuing what's here and caring for it. You know, and we have to say what's true, you know, when we see it in order to really be able to be intimate with each other. And I think right now this community is heartbroken over the dynamics that have gone on between, you know, in particular the Black community and the police, you know, the police force here.
It's interesting that you say that that tension is a part of loving. I'm just reading a book now where that almost exact phrase is in there. Can you say a little bit more about that and how that affects who you are as a person and maybe how that affects you in your music?
Sure. Well, you know, I think prior to this, right, this record is probably the first record to come out since Philando Castile was shot in St. Paul. And that was an event that really woke me up as a white-bodied person to understand how much I don't understand. and how much that, you know, when I watched that video that was on Facebook and that went viral, I realized, wait a minute, like there are people who are different than me, that are having completely different experiences in the same kinds of situations that I would be in. Do you know what I mean? As a white body person and a black body person, there are two different experiences. And that as a white body person, I don't understand those experiences. And so I've been in the last couple of years doing a weekly white group of white friends of mine. And I have been getting together and really talking about what it means to be so blind and also to be overwhelmed by the grief of what's going on and to feel all of the stuff that comes up. And to me, that is actively loving. I mean, to answer your question, like the tension of what our country is built upon, you know, which is it's built upon slavery, you know, it's built upon historical trauma, you know, the historical trauma of the white slaves that were brought from Europe, you know, initially to help make this country happen. It wasn't always in the beginning. There were, you know, slaves of all color. Color wasn't even really a thing, and so just I didn't know that until starting to learn. And I feel humbled that I have so much more to learn. Right. And I don't know if I'm going to be able to learn it all, but I know humbly that because I don't know, it's really important for me to listen and to be more open and to really stand up with my own white body when I have the opportunity to, for the people who aren't being heard because they are a different color than me, you know, because of the way our society has been conditioned. You know, it's alive right now here in this community, in these blocks that I'm in. You know, we're really feeling the energetic ripples from what happened, and having that just experiencing that is something to honor. And I just also want to express, that's part of what my verboseness too is about, is I'm just feeling like, oh my gosh, you know, how do we do this? Let's heal already. Come on, white people, let's band together, you know, let's do our work so that we can be a part of helping, you know, see clearly the human beings that are of all shades, you know, who need to be seen and heard and be a part of things, because that's what's right. That's what's true.
So it's with that as your backdrop, because this is so interesting to me that we're in the middle of a very dramatic pandemic. We're in the middle of a very dramatic, racially tense time in our society, and you're making music and celebrating the release of an album. I'm just wondering how that feels.
It feels weird. It feels weird because, you know, but the good news is my album is called Ordinary Love, and it is an album that reflects a broad understanding of love. You know, it's got songs about relationship. It's also got songs, you know, about, you know, being a mom, you know, and watching your kid grow up. It's got, you know, songs about loss, you know, different aspects of love are in this record, as well as songs about showing up and seeing the truth and seeing what's hard, which is, you know, there's a song called Start Where You Are. And there's also a song called Pie for Breakfast, which is, you know, a hilarious song that really still honors the darkness, still honors like the fact that things are not going really well right now, you know, but at the same time, you know, how can we find joys? How can we find the small joys right around us to help us be resilient, to help us really be able to hold the difficult stuff and know that that's not all there is, you know, it's so easy to look at this pandemic and to look what's going on and then to not see the joy that my dog has running after the ball, you know, right? You know, it's like, and when I laugh, to feel like there's a tightness to my laugh, like, you know, should I be laughing? You know, shouldn't I be crying right now? Or like, what's not knowing how to respond? And, you know, it's like, I think that's really a normal response because things are very up in the air right now for all of us. We don't really know, like, what's happening. This is like really an interesting time, isn't it? It's like, oh, and I, you know, and it hurts. It hurts because we don't know. We're not in control. And at the same time, what we can do is care about each other. You know, what we can do is care about our own lives. And really, you know, for me, it's like, I listen to the news enough to know what's going on. But I also know that when I listen to the news a lot, my heart, I get kind of out of touch with, you know, my daughter or my wife or my dog or, you know, my neighbor. You know, I feel like there is a way that balance and care and being able to see the joy, you know, even while, you know, feeling and holding space for the pain, it's really an important piece of things. It's part of how we, you know, can address what's going on with a open heart, you know?
Right. Tell me a little bit about one of the songs on the album and what you were thinking when you wrote the song, You Got This.
Yeah, I mean, that is absolutely about, you know, parenting and just how, I don't, are you a parent?
Oh, yes. But,
oh my gosh. You know, it's really something to have this little person in your world that, or little people, if you have more than one, but, you know, I have one and I, you know, it's just this crazy responsibility to raise this little human being. And then like at every step along the way, I'm having to, as a parent, let go. You know, she's learning how to do things on her own. You know, it's like, and before you know it, it she'll be, you know, hopefully like able and, you know, doing her own life. And just the whole process of that is incredible to me. You know, I mean, I just really feel very startled by that in the sense that I didn't quite realize the impact that would have on my heart until she was here, you know? And it's like, I was just thinking so much about how fun it would be to have a little person around, you know, not really thinking about the whole thing, you know? And it's like, wow, you know, and so this song, You Got This, is all about, like, you know, really that encouragement, that understanding. I mean, when I first held my daughter, Ruby, and I looked at her, I mean, I was startled by how solidly she looked into my eyes. I mean, she, like, solidly looked into my eyes, and I knew that her brain was still being developed. You know what I mean? They say that, you know, she had a month left, right, on the outside of the body to finish cooking or whatever. But she was like, you know, looking at me with such intensity and such, to me, it felt like, all right, now it's on. Now it's on. And, you know, this is on you. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, and I felt that. And I just felt like, wow, this is, it's hard to describe, but it was just really a contract. I felt like the contract was signed. And it also, I felt her strength as an individual, even as a baby. You know, I just felt like, oh my gosh, this is an individual human life that is like, you know, that I am responsible for. And at the same time, she's got her own set of stuff that she's bringing in with her, you know, and it's, huh, this is really, and so for me, this song is really about that, like, you know, encouraging, you know, your child, you got this, you can do it, you know, this is your journey and I'll be right here, you know, and then, but at the end of the song, you know, it's about the parent also consoling themselves, you know, and saying, oh my God, you know, oh, this is hard, this is, this is hard, and you know what, we're and I feel like that about the pandemic too, and about this you know, the time that we're in of racial awakening, you know, to understand the white body supremacy that we've got going on. Like, you know, I really feel that our human structure, or our human, you know, like, we're made for this. We're made for turbulence, even though it hurts. We're made to be resilient. We're made to adapt. And I really have a strong belief in that, you know, that as a species, we could, if we chose to come together around, and I think we are, actually, I think we are coming together around all of the things that help us survive, you know, ultimately. I think it's hard, because there's a part of me right now that feels some of the down, you know, some of the sorrow and kind of like, here we go again, stuff is coming up for me. So it's, I'm ADD a little bit, Brent, so I'm jumping around a little bit between my thoughts, but it's all kind of coming together for me. You know, it's, I do really believe in the power of our better nature, you know, our higher calling as a human species, and I think in part because I'm a parent and I see how amazing it is to watch your kid, you know, do things naturally, to learn how to growing naturally, learning how to walk naturally. You know, maybe we're just naturally falling on our faces, you know, and it's okay. You know, it's okay. It makes sense that we're getting some bruises, and it makes sense that, you know, as a country, that we're just trying to figure it out. And I think I have a real faith that most of us, most of the people in this country, are really interested in people being seen as human.
Tell me about, with that, knowing that you have that in your heart about the fact that most of us are working our way toward some sort of enlightenment or a better way of thinking. Mm-hmm. Tell me how you work that into a song, whether intentionally or unintentionally. Do you think that just comes out as part of who you are in your music?
I absolutely do. I think, you know, I was always growing up a real devoted Christian growing up, and feeling very connected to something greater than myself. And then you know, I still consider myself to be somewhat Christian, but I also feel a real strong connection to Buddhism, and just this idea that, you know, there's a practice to see things as they are. There's a practice to understand the heart and the mind and not take it so personal. That is really helpful. You know, it's helpful in the way that we relate to each other, to ourselves, to the task that we're doing. You know, it's for me, when I make music, when I'm writing a song, I am touching into something greater than myself. You know, it's a practice of singing. You know, it's a practice of trying to capture a moment in time and really see it from all angles, you know, see it from all emotional angles. And to me, music is like a painting for the ears, you know, or a book, a story smushed into 3.5 minutes, you know. And it's like, you know, how can I make something that, you know, that I can also, that I can step into and feel and see and explore, and that also other people can step into and feel is a part of their own story too. And so I guess to answer your question, you know, so much of what I feel like my root system wants to do in this life is be free. I just want to be free. I want to feel the life that I have. I want to, you know, feel the connection here, and then I want to appreciate it because I know that it's fleeting. And so, you know, my music, I'm continually thinking about that, those themes, those ideas as rooms I want to explore or stories that I want to explore. I want to understand, you know, how is it that we fly from when we don't have official wings? You know, how is it, how can we be free of, you know, there are people that, you know, that have practiced different spiritual paths who have been joyful and been able to be free from the ways of war, the ways of, you know, abuse of all kinds. I mean, you know, there are people who have been able to really do something to contribute to community, like the Dalai Lama, for example. You know, somebody who has experienced an incredible amount of trouble, you know, and at the same time been able to, and I know he has a lot of support too for his practice, but, you know, has been really able to find joy, you know, as an aliveness, you know, energy, as like an abundant energy that's available to all of us because, you know, we're alive. There's so much here that's alive. And that's, I mean, it's like walking into a room, Brent, and seeing, like, we tend to look at all the objects in the room, right? I look and I see the objects in the room. But when I take a minute and look at the room and see the space, oh my gosh, it's such a different view. It's like, wow, there's a lot of space. And when I look at what's going on with the pandemic and the protests and all the pain, you know, and I think, oh my God, I could look at all that and feel the weight of all the objects, all the pain, all the suffering. Like, can I look? Can I hold that there's a place for that? Absolutely, that's there. I'm not saying that's not there. Can I also look and see all the space, all the generosity, all the ways that we are taking care of the planet, all of the ways that we are taking care, you know, all of the white advocates, you know, the people who are white-bodied people who are working toward understanding and collaborating with, you know, communities of color to help, you know, heal. You know, there are so many ways that that there is more space, there is more air here to breathe. To, you know, I really think there is, and I think that it, you know, it's so. What we see, you know, I guess I should say it this way, what we look for, we see. And so the more we look for something, it's like, you know, this is idea too, when my wife and I were looking to get pregnant and we were trying to figure out, you know, and starting to think about, you know, what would it be like to be parents? It was like, all of a sudden I saw pregnant women everywhere. Oh my gosh. And it was like of course they were there before. Of course they were. But I just wasn't seeing them. And so I think about that a lot, like that we see what we look for. And so how can I be looking for things that I want to see and I want to understand and be willing to practice. You know, I want to look for joy. I want to look for ways to celebrate. And I want to look for ways to stand up for what I believe in and to support justice and all the things that I think are important for happiness, you know, are important for our communities to be at peace, you know, and to connect in ways that are skillful and help us grow all together. And so I do think it's so important to call, you know, senators, to call, you know, legislators, to walk in the streets and do peaceful protests and stuff. But it's also important, and I should say, and you know, and it's also important to look for the ways that you know, the sun is just so beautiful outside and the flowers are just, they're coming up and they're doing their thing. And, you know, the dog is totally unaware of social distancing. You know, it's like, you know, it's like reaching for that other dog in person with such enthusiasm, you know, and how can I see that and find, you know, feel it in my heart.
Yeah. And I want to say thanks for saying all that, because Ellis, I think hearing that and hearing about the need to notice the space instead of the objects, not instead of, in addition to the objects, is really inspiring, actually. And so I'm hoping that that will encourage people to listen to your music, because I think you do that in your music all the time. And it's been now up to 10 albums of it. So there's plenty for people to listen to. And I would be remiss if we didn't do some of the details about your album. So can you tell me, I know I want to say it's called Ordinary Love, as we've said. It's by Ellis Delaney, and it's coming out on June 5th, which is very soon. What are you going to do to celebrate the coming out of the album?
Well, I'm trying to figure that out. I had some plans that are now altering a little bit because of what's going on. But one of the things I'm doing is I am going to be celebrating the day of. I'm going to play a song, an hour on Facebook Live. So I'll be, you know, really talking about the record a lot. And then also on Sunday, I'm having a show, through Crowdcast. And what I'm having people do is, you know, email me, and there's a link for a survey that folks can fill out. So that's kind of like, it's a 2-question survey, where you can put your email address and then we'll email you the link for the invite for the show, so you can come, so that we just have the people that really want to be there. And, yeah. And then you can request a song or request a dedication. Some of these songs are just really, you know, like there's a song called The Finest Adventure, which is a love song to life. And also a lot of people have really found it to be, you know, something that they want to say to someone that they love, you know, I'd love, let's have the finest adventure together, you know, and Ordinary Love itself, you know, is a love song. It's like sticking it out when the going gets tough. I keep coming home to you, you know, ordinary love. It's about, you know, joy. And so really, you know, I'm having a raffle where folks that sign up to go to the concert can also enter a raffle. If you live in the Twin Cities area, I'm going to be doing a curbside serenade. So I'm going to be going out and to somebody's house, you know, and maybe it will be the person who won the raffle, and maybe it will be somebody that the person who won the raffle loves and wants me to sing to. And so I'll go and do that on Saturday. And and that's really, I mean, you know, other than also just, you know, being so, I'm so excited to have my name Ellis Delaney now, because it was more difficult to find me online because all over the world there are other artists that you run into that are named just Ellis or Ellis something that isn't, that is close enough to me that it was hard to find me. So now that I'm Ellis Delaney, you'll find me right away, you know. And so Spotify, Apple Music, any place, Bandcamp, I offer my music for free, or, you know, for a donation on Bandcamp for those folks who are in financial hardship. You know, I really want to make sure that my music is available to anyone who wants to hear it. I sing so much about love and about, you know, the truth that we really are valuable human beings, and we have something special here, you know, and it's so easy to forget. I know, because I need to sing a lot about, I need to sing all the time about, you know, the human condition and how we're resilient, and there's a lot here to love.
There is, and I appreciate that you spend time thinking about that and then putting it in a format that I can share it with other people. When you say the concert is on Sunday, that would be June 7th, is that right?
Yep, June 7th, and it's Sunday at 3 p.m. Central Time, so that families can come, and that also, so fans all over the world, it's a time that works really well So virtually.
Well, we're very excited about that. We're excited about your new album and that people now can find out your whole name, Ellis Delaney.
Right.
And eventually that'll be your website. Right now it's
ellis-music.com.
That will be exciting. And I just want to say thank you so much for talking with me today and sharing all that inspiring feelings and thoughts that you have going through your mind right now, because as I've been at home all these past weeks up in rural northern Minnesota, it's good to hear from other people, and it's good to hear from you. So thanks so much.
Oh gosh, you're so welcome. And it's so nice to talk to another human being. I haven't really done a lot of adult chat. So thank you for the time. I appreciate getting to spread the word about my music. Thank you.